device or whatever you use to look at Scripture. We're going to start with Jeremiah chapter 29. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can. I apologize, Sandy. I forget. I'm usually not on this side of it. I'm on the other end of it. All right, now y'all have to pass this around, and everyone take a piece. Everybody just grab whatever, and if you get two or three pieces, that's okay if they're stuck together. But everybody take a piece. This is almost like going to kindergarten for a lesson. But we have to get it on my level, you see. We have to get it where I can do it. Isn't Kenneth a marvelous teacher? Amen. We have learned so much, and I'm so expectant when he teaches on the rest of what he started. He will be teaching us next Sunday on interpreting our own prayer tongue. And everybody that prays in the Holy Ghost, which is who? Okay? The greater portion of us. We, how many times prayed in the Holy Ghost, thought, man, I wish I knew what that meant. And I'll hear myself say words that I've heard myself say before. And you can't mentally repeat them. You know, you can't mentally think, oh, I know what that word. No, you can't mentally repeat it. But you'll hear yourself say words that you think, oh, I'm going to see if I can figure out what that means. And I'll tell you one word that I used. My Spanish is limited to taco and enchilada and muy bueno and, you know, gracias. And, you know, I mean, it's pretty limited, all right? You know, and years ago when I was begging God, please, 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 can I live anywhere but here? Please, can I move? Please, let me go. I'll go anywhere but Pecos. Please, let me go. Please, Lord, I'll go to Africa. I'll go to Europe. I won't go to Pecos. I will go anywhere, Lord. Please, let me go anywhere. Just let me leave Menard. And I'd start praying in the Holy Ghost, and I'd be praying. I don't know what I'm saying. And the only word I understood was aquí. And I'd get mad. No, not it. Well, I didn't know what I was saying around that. All I knew was, no, not here, Lord. Well, you know, that made
me. Let me interrupt for just a second on interpreting your prayer language. You're not going to mentally figure it out. Cindy was praying in the Holy Ghost one day. And she kept saying, Koshka, 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 Koshka. And she was in the bathroom praying. She kept saying, Koshka, Koshka, Koshka. Well, I'm learning Russian. Koshka is the Russian word for cat.
Oh. I'm praying for those cats in the backyard. We got wild cats.
You don't know what you're saying unless you get it by the Spirit.
Can't figure it out. And again, I didn't know what I was saying around Aki. I just was thinking, no, Lord. So,
no Aki.
No Aki. That's right. So, he's going to help us understand interpreting our tongue. I'm really looking forward to this. I have had the privilege on many occasions while I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and this began early on in the early 80s. Now, how many of you have been Baptist? And you know everything has to be scriptural, right? Now, if you weren't raised Baptist, you're not as staunch on that. But if you were raised Baptist, it better be right there. I'm telling you what, it better be right there. And so I was raised that, you know, all of tongues was, you know, certainly the languages of all the languages all over the world. And so I guess maybe God was just doing this for me because of my upbringing. But early on, I'd be praying in the Holy Ghost, and I would have people come up to me that understood the language. that I was praying in. Now, that's pretty awesome. And when they walk up to you and say, where did you learn your Hebrew? And what? I don't speak Hebrew. Oh, yes, you do. And then they tell you what all you were saying. Or they say, I didn't know you spoke French. Don't. and they begin to tell you what you were praying. Many times I've had people to tell me what I was praying in Spanish. And I told you the limit of my Spanish. Okay? There was one time in San Angelo, we had a prayer meeting for 2 years. We would start at noon praying, and the first bunch would come through and pray till about 2 or 3 o'clock, and then another bunch would come in and pray till about 6 or 7 o'clock, and another bunch would come in and pray till about midnight. So we had prayer going on in our church most of every day. And I would be walking around praying, and y'all all know Robert, and Robert came over to me one day and interpreted everything. He said, you're praying for Europe and you're praying for the souls of the world. Wow, that's awesome. But this is going to be teaching on interpreting our own prayer tongue. Yeah, I can't keep it up. I don't know what we're going to do about that. Let's see if we can do this. All right. Where did I tell y'all? Jeremiah 29. Am I set up with that? Okay. You showed me there's a button. There we go. I'm going to read this scripture from numerous places. I don't know what translation you have, but I wanted you to see it from several translations. And before we get through reading this verse, you're going to have an understanding you didn't have before. Jeremiah 29:11 says, out of the Amplified Bible, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for not to be on welfare. Okay, that's not what that means. That doesn't mean you're going to get to be on welfare. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. May I suggest to you that this walk with God is a journey. It is not an arrival. You will never get there. About the time you think you get there, you're not there. You just now got started. And about the time you think, I've got it all, you find out, I don't know anything. I'm just getting started good. This is a journey. Okay, that wasn't the right button, evidently. It is. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for, say it, to give you what? To give you a future and a hope. Many of you are sitting in here today, and many of you listening on the CD are going to say, I just don't see any future. I just don't see anything ahead for me. I just don't see where I'm going. Well, what did he say? I have plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future. Out of the King James, I like this. But this, that's not it. No, that's ESV.
Keep going.
That's okay. We'll go with ESV. All right. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for?
Evil.
To give you?
A future and a hope.
Now let's see if we come up with it this time. Do I hit it again? Oh. Oh, okay. Oh, I'm not doing it right. All right. King James, I like this. For I know the thoughts. Let's say it together. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Doesn't that just make you feel good all over? To know, you know, God's got a plan and I'm part of it. God has a plan and I'm part of it. And He has a good plan for me. All right, we've got another one here. Like I said, y'all are going to know this before we get done. Let's read it together. For I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to
prosper
and not I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. And the last one, let's say it together. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Meditate on that. Take the time to meditate on that and receive that from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's see if I've... There we go. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way. We've all got a plan. We had a plan last night for the service. I had the songs and I had my message. But I had the ultimate plan was, Lord, your will be done. Whatever you want to do, Lord. Whatever you've got planned, that's what we'll do. And all other plans go out the window when... God can do whatever he wants to do. That's what I want to do. And that's what happened. Our plan went out the window because we ultimately want his plan. He says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The NLT, I like this. We can make our plans. Go ahead, make a plan. Make a plan. It may or may not carry out. But the Lord determines our steps. As long as we're submitted to him and as long as we decide, you know, God, I've got this figured out. I know what I want to do and I know where I want to go. But you order and direct me. You get me where I need to be at the right time with the right people. Connect me rightly. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 16:21. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning. Out of the NLT says, the wise are known for their understanding, and pleasant words are persuasive. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you penetrate our hearts and our minds, our understanding today with your word. And Lord, you've given me this message. You have given me these things to share, and I thank you that we each hear and understand and perceive what you are saying and what you want us to know and understand. I thank you that you open our hearts and you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You cause the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of your calling. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's not the one I want. 1921. Keep going. It's not in there? Okay. All right. You have a Bible there. Proverbs 19, verse 21, out of New King James Version. I'll let you get there because you want to see it in your Bible, you want to see it for yourself. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, out of the New King James, and then we're going to go to the NLT. Proverbs 19, 21, New King James, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. How many of you made a plan and it fell apart? How many of you worked hard on that plan? And it still fell all apart. I put so much work and money in that. I've worked and worked and it just crumbled. Could be it wasn't God. Could be. The NLT of Proverbs 19:21 says, I like it. Get all the advice and instruction you can so you will be wise the rest of your life. It is the fool that won't be taught. Proverbs chapter 12 says that it's stupid to not listen. That's my paraphrase. But there are some translations that say that it's stupid if you won't listen. Because a person that won't be taught is a fool. Well, I just don't agree with them. Well, you could be wrong. Might be right, but you could be wrong. Let's see if we've got this one up here. Yeah, there it is right there. That's where I want to go. May he grant, Psalm 20, verse 4. May he grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. We all have desires. We all have plans. We all have things that we hope for. We all have things that we think, man, Lord, I'd really like to have that. And Lord, I'd really like to. And Lord, we're good at telling him what all we want and what all we need. May he grant your heart's desires. He's not withholding from you the things you desire. He is not withholding from you the things you desire. He will prevent those things that will destroy you. If you're halfway trying, he's going to order and direct your life in such a way that he's going to prevent you from being caught up in those things that will destroy you. Amen? New King James, Psalm 20, verse 4, may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. Say it, purpose. Let's read it together. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. Every time I've preached before and Kenneth does the labels for the CDs, he'll say, Cindy, what is the title of your message? Never, ever do I ever have a title. I don't know. just put Cindy preaching. You know, I don't know what my title is. I may have a message, but I never have a title. This time the Lord gave me my title before he gave me my message. He said, I want you to talk about your part, your purpose, and your place. Each and every one of us, every single one of us in this place, every single one of us in the body of Christ, you have a part, and you have a purpose, and you have a place that is necessary and needful. Now, did y'all pass those pieces around? Get your piece. How many of you got more than one piece? Lisa just got one. More than one piece, and Dan and Kathy got more than one piece, and Burl got more than one piece. You each hold a piece to a puzzle. This is very simple, but I want it to impact your life, and I want you to understand that as surely as you hold that piece in your hand, you hold a piece and a part to what God wants to accomplish in this earth.
That's right.
And your part is needed. Now, we can put that puzzle back together without your part. We can all bring our parts together. And Adam says, I don't want to put my part in there. I'm going to keep my part. I like my part. It's pretty. It's my part. And we can put the puzzle together and we can pretty well know what's in the puzzle. But it's still missing something. It's not complete. When I put the puzzle together the other day, there was one piece that just looked really odd to me. And when it got down to the, you put puzzle together, you know, it goes down to the last three pieces, right? And I had this one piece, and all of a sudden I saw it before I put it in place. All of a sudden I saw it, and I thought, and how vital was that piece? It was the eye of the horse. And I kept trying to stick it somewhere else. It didn't look like an eye by itself. By itself, it did not look like an eye. I was trying to make it a flower. And it wouldn't fit with the flowers. And all of a sudden, I said, that's the horse's eye. Oh. Now, would the puzzle be complete without that piece in the very middle? No, it would not be complete. Can we go ahead and put it together? Look at there how vital that is in this whole. It's right in the middle of it. We would still know it's a horse. But we'd also know He don't have an eye.
It'd be a blind horse.
It'd be a blind horse. Right? Your peace is vital and your peace is necessary. And if you have to do something as simple as go buy you a dollar store dollar puzzle and put it together and remind yourself, my peace is important. My part is necessary. I am not on this earth at this time without a purpose. I am not alive and breathing without my part being important. Without my part being necessary. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Every single one of you are preachers. Every single one of you are preachers because you're preaching a message whether you try or not. You're preaching a good one or you're preaching a bad one. You're preaching a good one if you've got a good attitude and you're walking with God. And if you don't have a good attitude, everybody hears your message loud and clear. Everybody gets your message loud and clear. What message are you preaching? Whose puzzle are you a part of?
I preach bad in both ways.
We've all had plenty of experience preaching bad messages and good messages. But your part is important. It is necessary. And the thing you must remember, as much as Adam thinks his peace is the best peace, it's only a piece. It's only part of. And it's not about you.
Yes. That's exactly right.
It's about all of us coming together. Exactly, Lynn. It's about all of us fitting together and connecting and coming together to make the complete, the whole. Your own specific purpose will come into clearer view as you stop looking only at your part. Everybody look at your part. Look at your piece. Look at what you have in your hand. Now somebody tell me what you're holding. You've got a corner. The corners are pretty important. And you have a border. But what's the picture on it? You got a leg?
I have no idea.
You have no idea. How many of us look at our part in the body of Christ and say, I have no idea?
Yep.
Some of us can look at our part and say, I'm pretty sure, you know, like I say, I was trying to make that eye a flower because y'all don't know if you're holding a sunflower or a tree. Some of you may be able to look at your piece and say, I think that's a hoof. If you're holding a brown piece, you're pretty certain you're holding a horse, right? I'll do the bigger picture here. You're pretty certain you're holding onto the horse, but you hadn't got the whole horse. You just got part of him, right? And if you're holding something that's got yellow on it, it most likely is one of those sunflowers. And if you got the darker green, you know it's part of the trees, but it's only part. It's only part. It's not complete. Your part alone makes no sense until it is joined with others.
That's right.
And the more you join with others and you connect and you join forces with the other people in the body of Christ, the more sense your purpose will make. It will begin to come together and you go, oh, look at that flower. Looky there, that's a horse. It will begin to come together, but by yourself, you will never, hear me, you will never, ever fulfill your purpose in God. You can't do it by yourself. God never ordained that it be done by one person. Jesus couldn't do it. But he is the what? Cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. Your part alone makes no sense until it's joined with others. You'll see how you fit when you begin to focus on others and see how you fit and connect. Your part is necessary. You belong in a particular place. How many times we've heard it through 40 years of ministry? How many times people have told us, I've tried to go to this church and I just didn't fit. Well, I tried to go over here to this Bible study and I just didn't fit. Well, I went to Brother So-and-so's church. I just didn't feel like I belong. I just didn't fit there. Because there's a particular place you belong. Amen? And if you're out of place, you will not fit. How simple is this? You won't find your part, your purpose, or your place. All right, here's where it gets tough. Until you participate. Oh, I go to church. But do you participate? This is a powerful word the Lord told me. Church members attend church. You got lots of people. Oh, I go to church. Yeah, I'm a good, godly person. I go to church. Easter, Christmas, and special events and conferences. And when they have food. Listen, church members attend church. Disciples participate.
Yeah, that's good.
You want to bump it up? You want to step over into some good stuff? You want to bump it up and really walk with God? Be a disciple. As long as you're a church member, you are worthless in the body of Christ. All you do is warm the seat. That's all you do. And you come in and you say, give me, make me feel better. Encourage me. My life is so hard. Get in line. Really? Get in line and it's way back there. Really? Please, someone tell me, who has their life in such a wonderful manner that you don't have something you have to deal with? Please raise your hand. Come on. Nobody. Nobody.
If you raise your hand, we're going to pray for liars.
Yeah. No kidding. Because nobody has it all together and nobody has an easy life. Nobody. It doesn't matter if you're down in Shasta about to come out of their 5-year trial, and you are.
Yes.
You are.
Yes.
You are. Amen? Are you one of these guys that are just now beginning to figure out life? Amen? Participate. Well, how do you participate? Well, number one, you got to show up. You got to be there. Involve yourself.
And, well, I don't know what to do.
Ask somebody. Shasta walked up to me yesterday and she says, what can I do? Well, I gave her a job immediately. There's plenty to do for everybody. I guarantee you. And when we go back there for lunch, as hard as Michaela has worked, she better not have to clean up that kitchen by herself. Participate. You say, well, that's natural stuff. That's not very spiritual. Did you know? If the natural is not carried out, the spiritual isn't real effective. How many of you ever heard about Mary and Martha? How many of you struggle with being Mary and Martha? I am the ultimate Mary Martha. I am. Because I can get caught up in all of the Martha aspects of ministry. If y'all happen to stick your head in my office, you'll see. It's a mess. Why? Because I wear lots of hats and I do lots of natural stuff. I take care of all kinds of stuff. If y'all had driven by here the other day, you'd have seen me out here in my shorts and t-shirt treating ant beds and treating all the ants and putting out ant granules. That's not very spiritual for the pastor. It had to be done to keep y'all from getting bit by the ants. Somebody had to kill the fire ants. Yes, you're welcome. You're welcome. Somebody had to do that. Amen. But wouldn't it have been nicer if somebody had come along and said, Sister Cindy, you go and pray and you prepare yourself in the presence of the Lord. I'll put that ant killer out.
Yes.
But you see, the Martha stuff has to be done. The Mary stuff has to be done too. The praying, the preparing, the study, all of that has, all of us want to just sit at the feet of Jesus. Don't y'all? Really, I mean, don't you want to just sit down and say, okay, Jesus, I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to bask in your presence. I get in here and worship the Lord many times at the house too, but more so up here because there's such a presence of the Lord in this place. And I'll get up here and I'll just worship the Lord and it's just me and God. And sometimes, I guess y'all probably notice, I kind of go off in my own world up here. Because, you know, it's just me and I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus. I'm cool. I'm good. But the Martha stuff has to be done. And we're going to take a sidetrack right here and then we're going to come back to purpose. The Lord told me this. I had to get up and write it down the other night. He started talking to me about this and I'm like, well, yeah. Out of Luke 10, is that in the doohickey?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, technical jargon.
Yeah. Out of Luke 10, well, let's see, I've got it here for the Amplified. I really went old school. Ken kept saying, he said, aren't you going to put all that in your iPad? And I said, I was, but this notebook works so well, I think I'll just stay with it. Stay with what works, y'all. If it works, don't fix it. Luke 10, and this Bible doesn't have Luke 10. There we go. Lo and behold, looky there. Thank you. Yes, Luke 10, verse 38, I'm reading out of the Amplified. Now, while they were on their way, it occurred that Jesus entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha received and welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. But Martha, overoccupied and too busy, was distracted about much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, is it nothing to you? Mouthy little thing. Is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? I wonder if Michaela's saying that right now. Tell her, how many times we tell God, you need to tell them. I did it this morning. I said, Lord, you need to tell so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. And I started laughing. I said, yes, Lord, I don't need to tell you what you need to do to discipline your kids. Okay, all right, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord, but you need to tell them. You really do need to tell them, just in case you didn't know that.
You need to tell Kenneth.
Yeah, tell Kenneth or tell somebody. Tell her then to help me to lend a hand and do her part along with me. But the Lord replied to her by saying, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. There is need of but a few things. There is need of but a few things, or only one. Mary has chosen the good portion, that which is to advantage, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen the good portion. King James says the good part. How many of you have the translation that says good part? Good part. Mary has chosen the good part. And how many of you have gotten under condemnation for being a Martha and thinking, why was I not more a Mary? Y'all are all liars. And I have gotten under condemnation repeatedly over the years for being too much of a Martha and too caught up in taking care of all the natural things and all of the details that have to be attended to, and thinking, well, I should have been just staying in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me the other day. Hear this. Activity with attitude is only duty. There's no peace in it. There's no grace in it. There's no hospitality in it. There's no true servanthood. Now, our servant back there in the kitchen that's making lunch for all of us, I tell you, that woman's got a good attitude about this. She has a servant attitude. Martha was anxious, troubled, busy, distracted with much serving. And she got all stressed out. In the process of preparing for this meeting, I had many, many, many natural things to attend to, plus the spiritual things to attend to. And I repeatedly had to say, I refuse to be stressed, worried, or anxious about anything. If it doesn't all happen like I think it needs to happen, a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A man plans his way, Cynthia plans her way, but the Lord directs her step. Cynthia plans her way, but the Lord directs her step. I had to remind myself repeatedly. If it doesn't all, and I love to check things off my list. I love checking things off and scratching through. I did that, and I did that, and I did that. If I don't scratch them all off and I don't check everything off my list, it doesn't matter, because the Spirit of the Lord is what matters. The Spirit of the Lord is what matters. Mary was focused and intentional, but mostly Mary was at peace. She didn't care. And it wasn't like they had 10 or 15 people there showing up to eat. Martha had reason to be a little bit, you know, overworked. There was, how many people in that house?
Over 80.
Yeah. It was twice this many people. And she's trying to fix dinner and Martha's in there sitting at Jesus' feet. Mary is sitting in there at Jesus' feet. And all of us Marthas would be saying, get your tail up and get in here and help me. Right? But Martha was distracted. Hear me on this. Martha was distracted. She wasn't doing this with an attitude. I'm doing this as of the Lord. I'm not doing this because of me. I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm doing this to give the grace of God and the hospitality to all of these people. Her attitude was wrong. She was distracted with the serving, not being a servant. You hear the difference? She was distracted and worried and anxious about serving and not being a servant. If she had been a servant, her focus still would have been on the Lord. Did you know you can work your tail off in the natural and be one of the most spiritual people in the house? You can pray while you work. You can listen to God while you work. Some of the greatest words I've ever received from the Lord was washing dishes. While I'm washing dishes or vacuuming or cleaning, and I'm just working hard on all the natural Martha stuff, and God will just start talking. You know, hang on just a minute. I gotta go write that down, you know. I'll get back to the dishes later. You can be at the feet of Jesus and serve. Amen. The erroneous belief is that you have to sit at the feet of Jesus all the time. The erroneous belief is, I am not focused on the Lord if I take care of all of the rest of this. And that's not true. Your focus is in your heart. It's not on the outside, it's on the inside. And you'll get so much work done when you're focused on the Lord. You'll get so much work done. But why? The grace is on you. The grace of God is on you. You walk with Jesus, you can't help but be in grace. You walk with the Lord and you talk with Him. And I'm sure Kenneth hears me every now, because I I pray inwardly all the time. And then I'll just start, it comes, you know, out loud. I'm talking out loud. And there's just me and Jesus in the house. Or sometimes Kenneth's there, but anyway. The erroneous belief is that you have to sit at the feet of Jesus all the time. Again, Martha's activity wasn't wrong. Her attitude was. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. I believe that's in the overhead, isn't it?
Every verse of it. Every verse of it in the Amplified.
There we go. No, that's Ephesians. Where are we going? There we go. Yes. Kenneth kept telling me he wanted a list of all of my scriptures so he could put them on the overhead, and I resisted. But anyway, he finally convinced me to give him my list, and then he came back and he said, "Well, I didn't know you were going to do whole chapters." Well, you asked for them. Don't take a Martha attitude. You asked for it. You said you wanted to do it. Now you got an attitude because I wanted more scriptures than you wanted to put in there. Did you have to repent? Because, you know, you tell me you want to help me and then you gripe about having to help me, you know, Martha. All right, Romans 12 out of the Amplified. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. We are in it. We are not of it. We are of a different kingdom. We're living on this earth, but we are not of this world. Do not be conformed. Pardon me. Conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind. Most of you keep going around the same mountain because you've never done that one thing. You say, "I just don't know why we keep doing this. I just don't know why this keeps happening in my life. I don't know why I keep going around the same old mountain." Maybe you need to transform and change your mind and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Amen? Because everything you think, you will live. Everything you think, you will live. You can be fear-ruled, and your life will be one disaster after another. It will be one failure after another because there's no life in it. There's no life in fear. Confusion, it's all wrapped up together. Be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. For by grace, the grace, unmerited favor of God given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned to him by God. For as in one physical body we have many parts, organs and members, And all these parts do not have the same function or use. So we, numerous as we are one body in Christ, the Messiah. And individually we are what?
Parts.
Say it.
Parts.
One of another, mutually and dependent on one another. Having gifts, faculties, talents, qualities that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. He whose gift is practical service, Martha, let him give himself to serving. He who teaches, to his teaching. He who exhorts, encourages, to his exhortation. He who contributes, let him do it in simplicity and liberality. He who gives aid and superintends with zeal and singleness of mind. He who does acts of mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil. Loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness, but hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice and exult in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessities of the saints. Pursue the practice of hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, who are cruel in their attitude toward you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy, and weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, snobbish, high-minded, exclusive, but readily adjust yourself to people, things, and give yourself to humble tasks. Never overestimate yourself or be wise in your own conceits. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is honest and proper and noble, aiming to be above reproach in the sight of everyone. Let's read the last verse together. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on me, I can't fix you. I can't make Trixie be nice, but I can be nice. I'm teasing you. I'm playing. I can't make everybody be like I want them to be, but I can be the best me I can be. And I can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and I can be secure and certain in that and not be pushed around by people who aren't nice. And I had opportunity in preparation for this. I had plenty of opportunity with some people that weren't real nice. And they said ugly things to me and called me names and accused me of things. And I had a real opportunity to get a real attitude, and I really wanted to tell one of them off. Really did. But I decided I get to choose. I get to choose about this. I get to choose whose side I want to be on. I can either be on God's side and choose to walk in love and grace and peace and mercy, or I can choose to be like one of them and be a fool. I choose to walk with God. Amen? Because I have a purpose. You see, I have a purpose, and I don't want that purpose to be interrupted. I don't want it to be hindered. And if I had gotten in strife with those two people that told me off in 3 days' time, if I had got wrapped up in what all they had said to me and I was going to go and let them have it now, you had your turn, now I'm going to have mine, what would have happened to the grace on me to prepare for this purpose? What would have happened to me? What would have happened to this meeting? Because I would have let the devil in and opened the door wide open and said, come on in. Yeah, come on, strife. Come on. And what would it have done? It would have destroyed everything. I had a purpose. And you need to determine, is what I'm doing and what I'm saying, how I'm acting and how I'm reacting, is it working toward the end of fulfilling my purpose, or is it hindering it? and diverting it. I used to work for a hairdresser in San Angelo, and I was her assistant. I did everything but roll perms and put color on. Everything else in hair, I was her assistant. And I would get people in the shampoo chair, and just FYI, I was really good at my job. And I have really strong hands, so the best shampoo you've ever had in your life will come from these hands, because I could give a really good shampoo. But you know, when you've got somebody in a shampoo chair and you've got them all shampooed up, you know, and they're, you've got them captive. They can't go anywhere. You know, they're not going to get up and run off because they want their hair done. And now a man might get, I did have one man, a gay man, get up because he told me he wasn't an oil field worker. I didn't need to scrub his head like that. Anyway, and he did get up and run away. Actually, what I did when he said that, he said, "I'm not an oil field worker. You don't need to scrub my head like." I said, "Sit back and enjoy it." But I love you with a love. But then he did get up and run off. But that's okay. But in all the people that I shampooed, he was the only one that ever didn't like it. But you've got them captive there, and their hair is all wet and soapy, and they're not going to jump up and run off because they need that washed out of their hair. So, man, you got them there, and you can just start talking to them. And, you know, and whether it's a shampoo chair or the hairdresser's chair or a bar, scenario is the same, exact same thing. People want somebody to listen to them. People want somebody to hear how bad their life is. They want somebody to listen and care. But more so, please, somebody just listen to me. I need to tell you how bad it is. They want somebody to hear how bad it is. They want somebody to hear how sick they are. They want somebody to hear how mean their wife is or their husband or how bad their kids are. They want somebody to listen. And so you don't have to do much but say, "Well, now tell me about..." Here it goes. And they'll tell you about everything in the whole wide world. They'll tell you things you really did not want to know because they want somebody to listen. Well, and of course, I can keep them in that shampoo chair just as long as I want to. You know, they're there and they're not leaving because I'm going to shampoo them till they nearly go to sleep. And I would say, "Well, have you prayed about that?" "Well, I don't really know how to..." That's almost always the answer. "I don't really know how to pray." And so I just start praying for them. Now you say, "Well, that's because you're a preacher." No, it's because it's what's in me. It's in me to do that. If you've been wondering what your purpose is, it's what you would do no matter what you do. Kenneth is a teacher. And I don't care if it's drums or computers or the Word of God. If you get around him, he's going to teach you. He can't help it. It just comes out. He can't help it. It just, it's in him. And like Dan, Kenneth has a lawyer's mind. So they're going to pick this thing apart and they're going to analyze it and they're going to figure it out and they're going to get all the parts and pieces and they're going to... Why? Because it's in them to do. Why was I holding people captive in the shampoo chair and ministering to them and praying over them? Because it's in me to do. It is my purpose. And if you're having a hard time identifying your purpose, what do you do without thinking about it? What comes naturally? Where are your strengths? Find your strength and you know your grace. And each one of you have a part. Hold your part in your hand. Look at it. Look at it. This is your part. This is your piece. And some of you hold more than one part. Kenneth holds more than one piece. You only took one, so take four or five. I hold more than one piece. I function in many areas. The Lord asked me recently. He said, what would you do if you could only do one thing? I asked the ladies when we had our lock-in a few months ago. And they all knew the answer to what the Lord asked me. They all knew what I would do if I had to eliminate everything. If I had to eliminate everything I do and I had to do one thing, y'all tell me what it would be. See, y'all know what it is. Why? Because it just comes out of me. It's what comes naturally. Mother said when I was an infant, she had taken my sister, who's 3 years older, to the doctor for her shots, and you lost one of your pieces.
No, I
did. Oh, okay. Well, here, you need your piece back.
Thank you.
That's P-I-E-C-E, and your P-E-A-C-E. Anyway, Mother had complained to the doctor, you know, Cynthia just keeps crying, and I don't know what's wrong with her. She's not wet. She's not hungry. And she just keeps crying, and I can't figure out how to stop her from crying. And while the doctor was dealing with my sister, I started crying. And Mother said, see, listen to her. She said, she just does that all the time, and I can't figure out what's wrong with her. And he said, she's not crying. She's singing. He said, she'll grow up and be a singer. See, it was in me from an infant. It was in me to do that. So if I had to eliminate everything else, what would I do? If you had to eliminate everything in your life except one thing, what would you do? You answer that and you'll find your purpose. And when you find your purpose, your place will be revealed. Amen? I read this, I borrowed this from someone else the other day, but it was a very timely and appropriate quote. Red Skelton. Don't y'all love Red? I loved him. I still do. Y'all ever watch that thing on Facebook where he does the pledge? Oh, I'm boo-hoo like a baby every time. Red Skelton. Brother Copeland said one time, that they were on a commercial plane, which is rare that they're on a commercial plane, but this was many years ago. And they sat down, and lo and behold, Fred Skelton didn't sit down next to him. And Red asked Brother Copeland, he says, what do you do? Well, I'm a preacher. He said, for however many hours it was, I don't remember how many hours it was, they were in flight to wherever, he said, immediately he started writing preacher jokes. Immediately. And he said the whole time we were on the flight, he was writing preacher jokes. He said, and it was funny stuff. Real funny stuff. Why? Because it was in him to do. And this quote is from Red Skelton. If I can make one person smile during the day, then I believe I've done God's will. Seemed like he fulfilled it. Are you fulfilling what God has called you to? Are you doing what God has called you to? I am confident, and this is not arrogance, hear me. I am absolutely confident I am walking exactly where God has called me to walk. There is no question in me whatsoever that I am fulfilling the will of God. Most of you know my testimony, but for those of you that don't, from the age of 3, 2 men in my family began to sexually abuse me. Sexual abuse continued until I was 23 years old by several men. That's a rough life. It's hard. Causes a lot of heartache, causes a lot of anger, causes a lot of fear, causes you to be mental, causes you to be emotional, causes a lot of problems. And I hated myself, loathed myself, and committed, not committed, and I'm still here, tried to commit suicide on a number of occasions because I hated myself so much and I wanted relief from the torment I was in. And most people that endure the things that I endured, they don't turn out to be preachers. They turn out to be drug addicts and prostitutes and a lot of other things. But somehow God rescued me. You know what, one of the ways that he rescued me? My purpose was at work in me all alone. And when I would get so overwhelmed with emotion and I would get so overwhelmed with the desire to kill myself, I'd go sit at the piano and sing for hours. My purpose became my salvation. My purpose. And I was about 15, I believe. Mother had a book, a poem book. And I found a poem in there. And so, of course, I promptly cut it out of Mother's book and put it in my notebook. Because, of course, she wouldn't know. I still have that. It's called The Lighthouse. Let me so live that I may be a lighthouse standing by life's sea. When storm clouds sweep across the skies, let me light hope in weary eyes. When stars blink out and wild winds blow, let me show men the way to go. Folks, I didn't know how to go myself. Let me so live that I may be a lighthouse standing by life's sea. And when I put that in my notebook at 15 years old, little did I know that that was the prophecy of what I would live. Someone who was hopeless herself. Hopeless. Y'all don't think I don't know what hopeless is? Oh, listen, I could write you books on hopelessness. I could write you books on what it is to want to die. But I decided I'm going to live. And I'm going to be a lighthouse. People ask me why I love lighthouses so much. Because I decided I'm going to be a lighthouse. Because people don't have hope. Most people are struggling to have a glimmer of hope. Just a glimmer of hope. What are you going to do to fix that? What are you going to do? I know what I'm doing. I'm doing my purpose. I'm bringing you hope today. I'm preaching you a message on purpose. And you're here on purpose. On purpose you are here. Amen? What is in you? Your purpose is already resident in you. It's not something you're trying to get to. It's in you. What would you do if you only did one thing? Then do it. Start there. Whew. There is an impetus. This is another one the Lord got me up in the middle of the night several days ago. So this is directly from the Spirit of God. There is an impetus and momentum to purpose. It's called grace. Walk in your grace. Walk in your strength. And you will fulfill your purpose. And as you begin to walk in your grace and your strength, your place will be revealed. Amen. Amen. Do you have something? Okay. Is it a CD? Okay. Father, I thank you that this word has gone into our hearts. I thank you that you have... I need to say this before you sing, Diane. I need to say this. Start with what you know. Start with what you know. You say, yeah, but I only know one thing. Start there. Take that first step. A man plans his way, but the Lord, what? Make your plan. Take a step. If it's in the wrong direction, don't you think God can probably adjust that?
Amen.
Don't you think he can probably get you where you need to be? Have you ever taken a wrong turn and decided, oops, I need to turn around and go back? Don't you think God is a better driver than you are? Don't you think he can redirect your course? But you've got to take that first step of faith. And you got to say, I'm going to go in this direction. And God, if it's wrong, then you straighten me out here. You get me on the right path. Start with what you know. To discover and realize your specific purpose, you must first walk in the general purpose. What is the general purpose? Walk with God.
Amen.
Walk with God. Walk in His Word. If you can't figure out what it is, keep going to the Word. Keep going to the Word. Keep going to the Word, and it will be revealed.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Diane, minister to us.
Thank you.